I'd like to call the meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And the roll call, please.
Thompson.
Here.
Torres.
Here.
McDonald.
Here.
Connery.
Here.
Hagan.
Here.
Chung.
Here.
Okay, first off, we have an executive session, Resolution 147-2014, for the purpose of contract negotiations.
I'll make that motion in 15 minutes.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to step outside for about 15 minutes while we take care of a little business, and we'll be right back to you.
Sorry, Robin.
Excuse me, Scott, are we coming back in executive for the professionals, or are we not doing it?
It's time for next week.
There is.
We're all back. I'm going to deviate just a little bit from the agenda. Mr. Schrepp, we're going to put you on first for your evacuation plans, and then we'll do recreation.
Come up here. It's protocol,
please.
All right. Thank you.
If you would just state your name and your
All right. Stanley Schreck. I'm a partner with Van Cleef Engineering Associates, offices in Phillipsburg. We have a project that Chris Jepson from my office was working on in South Prospect Street for a sewer project. I'm sure you're well aware of it's been going on for a while. We actually had a pre-construction meeting with Viola and a contractor that they chose through their arrangements with the town in the beginning of November. Two things were apparent at the pre-construction meeting. One, Gardner Street, there's a back-pitched pipe. It's an 8-inch pipe, pitched the wrong way. Somehow that happened during construction back in 2005 or thereabouts, but it has to be addressed. Capacities might work with it. Very uncomfortable with the volume of sewage that we're getting there. Number two, the plans show a sewer line, a new sewer line going through Lot 9, I believe, Block 100, Lot 9. This is Gilby's property. It's an existing sewer. Obviously, it's been there for a while, at least when the last project was done back in 2005. But there's no easement presently available. Maybe it does exist. The town cannot find it. We ask the attorney for an opinion whether there's some type of presumptive easement that may exist since it's already there. But two issues have to be resolved to get that easement and address the back pitch pipe. One suggestion would be to just intercept the project where the back pitch is, which would be Mr. Savage's, Schaefer's property, next to Mrs. Gilby. We don't have to change configuration of any other sewage, leave some existing pipes in place, gain a little bit of capacity. That would require a whole new easement negotiation. That may take some time. The quickest solution would be just to lower the one manhole at the end of Gardner Drive, which I showed as option two. I believe I can lower it 6 inches, maintain complete capacity. It may call for that manhole to be reconstructed, and that would be at a unit cost of whatever the bid is that the contractor through Viola has. So I would like council to or the SOAR committee, I don't know quite how it's done, to consider option two, which would be just lowering that manhole, proceeds as we are, get some help from the attorney on that easement as to whether existing or not, whether we can proceed, call to Mrs. Gilby and get going. The contractor's ready. You could have started this project back in the beginning of November without this issue. Please answer any questions.
Yeah, I don't know that there are any questions. As you stated, this has been going on way too long. And Vina, this is really just presented to us, and we've kind of seen it and understanding it for the first time. We'd like to look at it for a little bit and get to understand it before a decision is made as to what we want to do, get some other opinions on it.
So you're recommending concept two?
I'm recommending concept two, which is the original design, is taking one manhole at its existing location, dropping it 6 inches.
And replacing 60 linear feet of...
Pardon?
And replacing 60 linear feet of pipe, right?
That was shown in the original concept. Nothing else has changed lowering that one manhole.
Stanley, is there any other options that you thought of besides for these?
Not that I'm aware of. I know that it's been a while. You were looking for easements. I got involved at the beginning of November at the pre-construction meeting. These were my observations, but I feel comfortable making this work with a drop in six inches and Isaac Newton's in effect, all the gravity lines work. I know there was issues getting the easement at the lower end of the project. Roadway, Finelli's firm designed a little bit of storm drainage, which I indicate on my plan. That's incorporated. So it's ready to go. It's dropping. The physical change from what you see, you wouldn't even see, is dropping one manhole 6 inches.
I'd feel a little bit more comfortable if we had the legal easement through the lease property before we went any further, to be honest with you. I mean, we can't find anything where there's an easement to do that. What if she comes around and says, no, I don't want you on my property. We'll take these plans and throw them out the window because we've got to get an easement.
Right. I would suggest that Leslie and I work on that. Council, take some time to consider it.
I took the liberty of calling the attorney myself. I reached out I to Leslie. She was on vacation. I realized that Christine did call earlier, and the Cushion called me back. And so they were going to try to do a search to see if that easement does exist.
That's when I feel comfortable.
Yeah. It has to be there. The sewer's there.
I think the best thing to do is just put it on hold until we can
make sure we get it right.
Review this over and get it right the first time?
No, get it right the fifth time, I think it is. But whatever it is, let's get it right. Let's get it right for the last time.
Okay. Is there anything you want me to do in the interim?
I don't think so. I have your contact information, and I'm sure a number of others do. If we have any questions, we can certainly reach out to you.
Okay, so you'll notify Kevin that it's on hold for now with this contractor, that Viola... This is not the town's contractor, it's Viola's contractor.
That's correct. Right, I'll speak with Kevin tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'll follow up with Dick, actually.
Okay.
And see what...
All right, let me know what else I can do for you, okay? All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Cioni for Recreation.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. With me today is our new Recreation Director, Jeff Green. Jeff was hired by Recreation Commission recently.
Welcome, Mr. Green.
Yeah,
thank you. Appreciate it.
Very excited about Jeff coming on board. He's got a lot of good background. He's going to take a lot of weight off of our shoulders, too. So every year, and this is for the newer council people as well, I like to do a year-end presentation, sort of say, state of affairs, sort of an overview. And if you have any questions, you can contact me anytime. Everybody has my information. So I'll just go through, I won't go through literally the whole document. That's something you guys could do at your own pace. I'll just talk about some highlighted things that we put in this presentation this year. So some of the things we did for 2014, we re-caulked and scraped the entire pool, did some partial repainting, and again, thanks to Borough Council for assistance in this project. Men's softball made a comeback in 2014. We only had four teams this year, but we had a lot of interest from other teams, and I think this year we're going to build on that and have a lot more than four teams in the league. The feedback from them was that they were very impressed with the conditions of the field. The park pavilion was sanded and restained because there was a lot of offensive graffiti there, and we put an anti-graffiti coating on that, which definitely helps us wash any graffiti off that does happen. However, there's also some there was some substantial vandalism done to the pavilion itself structurally and electrically. Jeff has been working with area contractors getting estimates to repair the structural integrity of the pavilion and the electrical, and he's taken it upon himself to do that, and he's going to submit the estimates to Christine so that we can get moving on those repairs. Specifically, there's some of the joists were removed from the pavilion, and a lot of the other existing joists were not removed, but moved off of their nails, basically. So it's pretty bad. I mean, anytime you can go take a look. I don't know if it's from kids hanging on there and swinging on there. Or I have no idea, but that needs to be addressed because it's a potential safety hazard. We did install a new handicap lift this year at the pool, which is one of the mandates that we had to do. That was not cheap, but we're now fully compliant. We also added new air dryers to the park system so that it's better for the environment and we're not using as much paper. And we implemented the online payments for recreation, sports, and activities. This has been a huge success for us, the online payments. We've actually probably garnered 40% or so of registrations all come on online. From an administrative aspect, it's a lot easier for us to do than processing a lot of paper, too. So that's been a huge win for us. On the next page, some of the other things, the 5K race we had back for a third year again. It was successful even though we had really bad weather, and that is one thing with an outdoor event you can never really count on, but the people that did participate enjoyed their time, and the kids really had a good time in the run, the kids run and walk. We had face painter there, so we definitely made it a great day despite the bad weather. One thing about the 5K race, Ray Rice from Jade was supposed to give us a donation. He never did, despite many requests and, you know, it's checks in the mail. And bottom line is that made us suffer a loss. Between that and the bad weather, we actually suffered a small monetary loss on the 5K race this year as a result of that lack of a donation. So it's unfortunate, but I hope next year we have much better weather. We have an old flagpole at Borough Park from 1922 that was relocated as part of an Eagle Scout project and fully restored. So now it's between the baseball field and the pool, so it gives a lot of visibility and access to the flag for various events.
That's the one that Will Turner did?
Yep. One of the things about this year is the Borough soccer program enjoyed a huge season. We had over 110 kids, which is really, really good for us. And we're starting to run into space issues. So it's like a good and bad thing. You know, we get a lot of program kids, but we don't have a lot of facilities, especially at night with the lights, because everybody wants to use the stadium lights. But I guess it's a good problem to have, at least for now. So process improvement on the next page. One of the things I like to do after each sport is over, I like to do a short 8 to 10 question survey I send out via email to the parents of the participants. We usually get like a 50% return on the surveys, which is pretty good because I keep the survey short on purpose so that people don't get bored and X out of it. So we use a lot of that feedback to see what we could fix next year. Obviously things that are in our control, you know, bad weather, you know, is not something we have in our control. But we do get a lot of good positive feedback. Most of the sports are very highly rated, but some of the things that we do pick up on the surveys, we do implement those changes the following year, if we can. We still go through the background check process. That's been going very well. We also keep a master sheet of all the coaches that have been background checked so we know when they expire and when they have to re-up. Okay, the next page is pretty important too. In 2014, we actually introduced team name and design to bring about an identity to build tradition in Washington Borough. A lot of towns have branding and team names. You see it, the Redskins, you see it with the Panthers and the Township with their football programs. So we decided as a commission to go with the Borough Bears, and we have the banner, the sign that's at Borough Park. We've also, all of the Borough sports programs have uniforms, new uniforms. We implemented soccer uniforms where there weren't any before, where there hadn't been for a while. The kids really, really loved the new uniforms. The parents were real impressed with the uniforms. We implemented the same uniforms, similar for youth basketball this season. And any rec Borough sport is going to have those new uniforms. And it's going to be, again, we're branded as the Borough Bears. And it's interesting because the middle school, Memorial School and Taylor Street School also are the Bears or the Cubs. So it sort of falls right into line with that as well.
Vic, that wouldn't affect the Sharks though, right?
No, it didn't make sense for us to change the Sharks to the Bears for the swim team. So,
right.
I didn't want to, let sleeping dogs lie, as they say. I don't think that would strike fear into too many swimmers, the Bears. We did have some misses, thankfully not many. We tried a summer hockey clinic, but we had to cancel due to lack of enrollment. We'll consider this in the future. Some of the programs we're trying to get back, we're still trying to get back men's basketball leagues. We're still trying to think about a lacrosse program, but a lot of it is time and effort, and a lot of it is just people have just gotten out of the, it's not a big draw anymore. It's not like it used to be. We'll still continue to try, and I think with Jeff on board, I think that's going to be a big help for us to sort of help network some of that stuff. We also might try a summer basketball clinic in Borough Park, a one-week clinic, something like that. For me, I like the idea of clinics because they're short and they're easy to put together, and you're not involved with league rules, you're not involved with umpires and paying all this other refs and stuff like that. It's just easier. You'll see on the page 8, we have the program membership. Now, again, all sports have been profitable. The numbers have been trending upwards in a lot of cases. Karate suffered a slight setback, but, again, that's a cyclical nature based on how many kids are in the age group. Soccer, again, you see a huge surge in soccer numbers from 2013 to 2014. We did spend a lot of money on soccer equipment this year, a lot more than usual. Part of that cost was the purchase of the uniforms, which, of course, we keep and recycle each year. And again, men's softball came back, so we made a nice little profit, even though we only had 4 teams. So if we double that next year, we should have even substantial more revenue for that. Swim team on the next page continues to surge. We had a real down year in 2012, and we've more than doubled that in 2014. And I think that this year we're going to probably do much better than that this year as well, coming up. Swim lessons, again, continues to be a huge plus for us. We did see increased numbers. One of the things that we need to get a jump on early this season that we sort of faltered with last year was when we hire lifeguards for the season, we need to make sure we get them to commit to be able to coach swim lessons as well. Because what happened was they never forced that part of the, recruitment process. And when swim lessons came about, we were shorthanded, so we had a sort of scramble, and that shouldn't happen at that stage. So we're going to be more on top of that this year. Aquazumba, again, a small program. It's never going to be a big program, but it's a consistent program. The people that do it are very excited about it, and they're consistent. And I think as word of mouth grows, it might grow a little bit, but it'll probably always hang around 100 to 150 participants per season. Again, a lot of that has to do with weather. If the classes are on a Wednesday and every other Wednesday is raining, it's not going to happen. So this year we had an amazingly cold August, and the last year we had an amazingly wet August. So from a pool perspective, that definitely cuts into your
August
margin.
August isn't good for you these
years. It has not been. The last 2 years have not been a good August. This August was sunny, but when it's 75 degrees, not a lot of people want to go to the pool. Tennis clinic, similar, you know, small program, low-hanging fruit, still is productive for us and still very appreciated by the kids that do it. Youth basketball, again, we're going to see a big uptick in kids this year. We have about 90 kids this year, which is almost 20 more than we had last year. And I think once the kids see the new uniforms, because I think that's going to be a big draw for them in the coming years, because they're going to be excited about that. And the Little Hoopsters Clinic, again, consistently is a big draw for us. The problem with that is we kind of have to cap it at the 35 number because we just don't have the capacity. It's hard for us to get the coaches, and it's definitely almost impossible for us to get any more gym space than we currently have. Street hockey, again, we're going to see a big surge. Again, this street hockey number is from January of past. So it's barely 2014. So none of the new numbers are reflected for this season, this coming season, because it technically starts in January. So keep that in mind. But I'm anticipating an uptick in hockey as well. Again, 5K run. We explained that we had a rough rainy day, but we still had 67 participants. I think part of the reason is why we solicit donations from donors is to sort of offset these contingencies that happen. And had we gotten all the donations that we had gotten verbal agreements for, we would have been somewhat profitable, if not broke even. So that's unfortunate. Next year we have to, and again, with Jeff being on board, because we didn't have a rec director this year, with Jeff being on board, that's going to help us get some additional sponsorship, hopefully. Now, one thing about the previous page, the Little Hoopsters Basketball Clinic, there's a $230 expense for, we spend that on T-shirts for the kids. Jeff is working with some organizations to see if they'll donate the T-shirts with their logo on the back. We did that for soccer this year for Whistle and Clinic Kids. We got sponsors for those shirts, which saved us about $600. And the sponsors got a nice little plaque with the picture of the kids and all that other stuff. So if we do that, that eliminates that $230, which means the Little Hoopsters program basically will be in the black probably $1,000, which is great for a small program like that. Some unexpected expenditures, which, you know, like council and the town and recreation has this as well, things that happen. You know, they're all listed here, some of the items, a lot of leak repairs, CPO courses, lighting service calls, the handicap lift. You know, had we known it was going to be such a cumbersome thing that we couldn't do ourselves, because we had initially last budget season anticipated doing it ourselves, but you know, from speaking with different municipalities that had done it, they said you really need to get it professionally installed because it has to be grounded and has to be all this other stuff. And we didn't anticipate a $1,300 hit, but that's what it cost, so recreation ate that cost. Pool revenues are all here. I won't go through them all, but one thing I did want to point out, there was one salary concession stand for 2014 that pretty much doubled. So a little explanation on that. Part of the reason why the salaries have gone up is because of the minimum wage laws in New Jersey. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, you're in this municipality, you're exempt from that. That's technically true, but your talent base that you're drawing from seasonally is not exempt from that. So if we want to keep those kids coming back, we have to be on par with the ShopRites, the A&Ps, and the fast food places or whatever. So we basically had to bump our salaries about a dollar per hour. So if you add that exponentially over a 70-day season, 75 days, it's a couple hundred dollars. So, I mean, there's a lot of factors why that number was high, but we are definitely addressing that next year. so that that number is lower and the profits are back where they should be. But I just wanted to highlight it as something that we are looking at. Some capital maintenance items for 2015 projected. One of the big things, and you guys will decide on this, vote this today, is the award the contract for the splash pad. This is a big thing for the borough. Everybody's kind of excited about this. Some of the work hopefully can be done and completed this winter. Once this award, you and I will talk about that DPW work.
And Veolia,
that they're going to meet with Jeff this week to walk through and see how much equipment and stuff that they need. There's some rusted handrails. You know, we've already ordered the replacement pieces to fix those handrails so they don't become a safety hazard. Not replace the handrails, but we sort of, basically what happened is the base of the handrails are rusted. Some of them are rusted through. So what we did was we worked with a manufacturing company, a metal manufacturer, to create some kind of a stainless steel boot that goes over the base and shoots into the concrete and ties to the existing pipe, so it's completely stable. So we needed three of those. We ordered six just to have spares. So those will be installed over the winter. They're actually shipping out today or tomorrow. Pulley system. The pulley system is for the netting. As men's softball grows and softball, maybe baseball eventually comes back, we're going to implement a pulley system so that one person could take the nets up and down. We don't have to rely on the fire department or any other outside entity to do that. And this way we could store the netting seasonally, so this way it's not going to be subject to the elements. That should be a spring project. A custom grading system for the areas of the pool. Now, if you're familiar with the borough pool, it's a trough system, and I've always considered it to be hazardous, although knock on wood, we've never had an incident where anybody's gotten hurt. But one of the companies we work with the pool supplies, they actually can manufacture a custom-made trough system, because you know they sell a lot of these grading systems, but none of them work with our pool because our pool is so old. And, you know, it would just, we can't, because I even got samples sent to me and they just don't fit, not even close. So they can make a custom design structure, and they, you know, we have all the pricing for that. That's going to be in our budget request, and they come in sections of like 12-inch sections. So basically we would utilize that for the areas, the ingress-egress areas, the ladders, the steps, those areas, so that this way if the kids do step in that trough area, they're stepping on a grate. It's a PVC type of grate, and it's got traction on it, and it's white, so it's very visible, and they all interlock. The thing is, the only thing we have to do is we have to fill out some form, and we have to draw an exact measurement of the trough system, so we can't do that until the spring when the pool's empty. So, but it is available to us, so that's definitely something we want to implement. And again, part of the process of sending out surveys, a lot of the surveys we got from the pool patrons this year were, we need more chairs, more umbrellas, so we ordered more chairs and more umbrellas. This way we could also keep rotating the chairs and umbrellas so that they don't get, you know, abused so much. And also with the umbrellas, one of the things we're going to do in the spring is we're going to put PVC pipe in the ground every probably 20 feet and stage the umbrellas so they'll be permanently mounted, and you know they'll be taken in and out each day, but the pipes will be in the ground low enough so the mowers will go over them, they'll be capped, and this way no one's going to be moving umbrellas around, they're not going to blow over in the wind, so that should prolong the life of the umbrellas as well.
The umbrellas will be able to be secured in those?
Yeah, they'll be, the PVC pipes will be roughly 2 feet deep, and the pipes, the umbrella posts will be extended 2 feet, and they'll be set by the lifeguards at, you know, before the pool opens and pulled up when the pool closes.
I mean, there's something that holds it there so that the patron doesn't say, oh, I don't want it here, I want it over here, tries to jam it into the ground.
They wouldn't be able to jam it into the ground. It's just an umbrella.
Hollow. Yeah, I would still try.
Well, I mean, at some point, the lifeguard and the pool manager would have to step in and say, these are not to be moved.
Sure. Okay.
And we also, like I said, we see a lot of the umbrellas getting blown over and stuff with the wind and stuff because the stands that we have are not very structurally stable, and they're secured in by rebar, so it's just not a good setup right now. And this will look more professional when it's staged that way. Again, I alluded to this earlier, with Veolia Water and DPW Assistant, we're looking to complete a water pipe replacement project at the pool. Kevin is meeting with Jeff at some point this week to go over the materials that are needed and, you know, the lengths and connections and all of that. And we're praying that this helps us alleviate some of the infinite amount of water leaks that we seem to get at Borough Park. And this way, if there is ever a water leak with that pipe that's outside the fence, it won't disturb the pool patrons.
And we'll know where it all is. There'll be a diagram done of it, I hope.
Well, what we'll do is we'll update the existing diagrams that we have. Every time we dig a hole, we take the plans out and we just draw a line. Here's a pipe. You know, this is what kind of pipe it is, and this is where it is. At least that's the plan. We keep doing that every time we dig.
How is it like in connection with the new splash pad, like the pipes that they're going to use and stuff like that?
Well, the splash pad is going to be adjacent to the baby pool, so all of that piping for the splash pad will be brand new, and it'll run adjacent to the baby pool piping. And that'll go from the splash pad directly into, well, it'll come in front of the pump house to a new pit that's going to be dug on the outside of the pump house. And it's going to be enclosed and stuff like that. And that pit is going to be connected internally to the filtration system.
Okay.
So it's basically the splash pad is going to reuse our existing equipment. So it's going to use our filtration system, and we have an existing pump. So we're going to utilize as much as we can. And we're not going to use city water. We're going to keep using the pool water, which is already chlorinated, to power the splash pad.
Like recycling it.
Correct. That was the most cost-effective. Originally, I had thought about using the well pump until I spoke to the well pump manufacturer and realized we would have to get either an augmentation to the existing well pump or a new well pump. So why spend the $12,000 if we didn't have to? And, you know, it's that much less trenching and all the other stuff that we would have to do. So the pool water is already chlorinated, so we'll recycle that. Some ideas for 2015, possibly, again, some of these are rehashes from last year because while they're great ideas, they're ambitious and we don't have the manpower to do it. One of the things I've been dying to do is a micro brew fest or a wine tasting or something at Borough Park. But, you know, it's just, it's like anybody that's dealt with, you know, Washington Celebrates America and stuff, the amount of work that goes into these projects, and I'm sure Sandy could chime in too. I mean, there's just so, it takes an army of people. So eventually we'd like to get there. But some of the other things are smaller, you know, low-hanging fruits, as I call them, we could probably get to do is music in the park, the pumpkin painting for the kids, again, lacrosse clinic, girls softball clinic, baseball clinics. One of the things we're adding for the fee schedule this year is yoga and Zumba for inside, because again, I still think there's a gap as what we offer senior citizens. We don't really have a lot of programs geared towards seniors, so we're
even
hoping
adults
or seniors. But you know, again, it's one of those, you know, big picture approaches,
yeah,
to see what we can
idea.
Offer. Yeah, and we've had people reach out to us as far as instructors, so I think the impetus is there. It's just a matter of us finalizing it in the fee schedule and getting somebody to help manage the process. Because
mm-hmm.
it was just me, and it was too much. Like, I couldn't
yeah.
get it all going.
Yeah.
But one of the things we're going to do this spring is probably we're going to add a vending machine. Don't get nervous. We're not shutting the snack bar down. We're just adding a vending machine outside of the snack bar to supplement during the off hours. The vending machine prices of the drinks and stuff would be the same as the snack bar, but it would be good for, it'd be right outside the pool house facing the basketball courts. We don't pay anything for that, and we get a percentage of the profits, and it's good for, like, when the pool's closed and if people are playing basketball at 10 o'clock at night, they'll still have access to the drinks. So it's kind of a win-win for us because there's no out-of-pocket expense. And I think that is just the donors, you know, the donors and the volunteers. We were lucky this year. Some good donors.
Question about vending machines.
Sure.
What about vandalizing?
Jeff can speak to that. I mean, some of the vending machines themselves are vandal-proof to some extent.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to have we have an electrical vendor coming in to put an automatic timer in there so lights will always be on. And Coca-Cola is responsible for that machine.
Okay.
Everything they have, it'll be card read,
And most of it will be card read, so even if they try to steal something, it'll be blank in there. Yeah. And any damage is on them, not us.
And if there's lost money, like if they do put a dollar in and it eats it, there's an 800 number or something,
yeah,
they can call COPA as responsible. So the rec department's not going to be on the hook for, you know,
yeah,
refunding any of that money.
We supply the electricity.
So it's going to be snacks and soda.
Just
soda for now?
Powerade,
yeah,
water.
Coca-Cola, I mean, they do snacks as well.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, we did want to start slow, see how if we do get vandalized there.
The other thing
we're always
worried about, too, is litter, because
yeah,
the basketball court, even though we have three garbage cans, we have a recycle can, we have a garbage can, and we have a dedicated garbage / multi-use can inside the court, there's still garbage and bottles strewn all over the place. So I'm a little leery about chips and stuff, because that would just add to the possibility of more, you know,
filth around a lot more than a plastic.
Yeah. So
going to pick it up.
Well, I mean, I will tell you this, and this is sort of a preface too. If it gets to the point, we have a sign up on the basketball court. If this continues, you know, if you don't take care of this court, we'll lock it up. So I mean, I don't want people coming here saying the court's locked. You council people have to do something about it. You'll know why, because. I mean, three garbage cans and it's still a mess. You know, at some point you have to have some pride in your place
exactly
to play. So, yeah, I mean, I don't see us doing that, but potentially it could happen, at least on the short term, to sort of let them get the message. I don't have anything else. If you guys have any questions, and of course, like I said, I know you guys are just getting this today, but if you have any questions, you know where to reach me. I'll answer any of your questions. And if any of the new council people want to take a tour of the park, we could definitely accommodate that.
I got a quick question.
Sure.
You mentioned at the beginning of the season with the lifeguards, you have issues with the certification.
Not the certification. They're all required to be certified.
With water safety instructions?
Yes.
Okay.
We had issues this year of not locking them up to also coach swim lessons for the kids later in the season. So then when swim lessons came and the numbers started coming in as far as how many participants we had, get a lot of kids being like, well, you know, I can't, you know, and it's like, if that would have been a precondition, then it would have solved that problem. So that's something what we'll be ahead of this year.
Are they paid there something to do the water safety instruction?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think they're paid at the lifeguard rate.
Okay.
So even if you're a pool manager and you decide, like, which would be paid at a higher rate, but you're going to coach swim lessons, you're paid at the lifeguard rate. So that's why a lot of times you can have one person wearing multiple hats. From a payroll perspective, it gets a little tricky. But I'm not paying a person to do a swim lesson $12 an hour that I might pay a pool manager. You know, it doesn't make any sense that way. But yeah,
no, that's okay.
That's just because the way Hackettstown was, it was higher pay rate and it was an incentive for the people who wanted it.
Yeah.
It wasn't significant.
I don't know off the top. It may be slightly higher. I don't know. You know, that's probably a question we can get answered for you, or Barbara from the finance department could answer that question. We have a scale of different positions and what their salary ranges are. And a lot of times it depends, too. You could be a senior lifeguard. You might be making $9 an hour, where somebody just coming in might be making $8 an hour, something like that. So a lot of that has dependencies as well.
Okay.
Any other questions?
We should look into seeing if there's any like Go Green or sustainability like grants, since you're recycling that water now for that splash pad.
Well,
that's how they got the hair dryers.
We had $1,000 to apply towards that.
Right.
Now
you're really going to be.
I look at grants a lot, and you know what's funny? When we started the splash pad project and we talked about recycling the water, I reached out to New Jersey American Water to say, I know you guys a lot of times will reward municipalities for being good stewards of the watershed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, is this something you want to partner with us on and say, hey, you know, because we're, and they basically said nothing. So this was despite repeated attempts on my part. So we're always looking for grants. You know, I get emails, I'm on grant portals that are sending me things when something triggers.
Right, right.
You know, Railroad Avenue Park, it's still something I've been talking with the DEP people that run that, and I know that was kind of put on hiatus for a little while, but they said the next go-around for grant applications, they'll let me know. I'd still like to reintroduce another grant for a walking trail at Railroad Avenue Park. You know, again, start of an the impetus to start something there.
Right.
You know, it's not going to be, let's redo it now and spend $2 million and get it to, you know, multi-purpose fields and all that other stuff. But I still believe that it can be utilized in small phases,
yeah,
little by
right.
little.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But that's it. I don't have anything else, I don't think. I'm excited about the splash pad.
Resolution 150-2014 for award of the contract for the splash pad.
Mm-hmm. So moved. Second.
Okay. Awesome. Any discussion on that?
Yeah, we're going to put a not to exceed in there.
Well, the
97,850
is a not to exceed. And because it's a publicly bid award, they would have to come back to us with a change order if we did exceed it.
Okay.
I can change the wording if that makes you feel better, but if we have to do a change order,
it makes it all feel better.
Okay.
Okay.
And that is less than what was originally budgeted, right?
Yes, very slightly. And they're actually, the engineering company is going to work with the contractor to see if they can implement another change order to actually revise it downward even further. So if you do get a change order, it would be for a lower provision.
Right.
A
not a higher.
Not a higher, no. We don't have any room for that.
Everybody was comfortable with that change?
Yeah.
Let's have a roll call, please.
Gleba?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Now I'll open up the audience portion. I apologize, Mr. Sherman.
That's all right.
For remarks, petition, statement, and testimony from guests. Name and address for the record, please.
Richard J. Sherman, Jr., 15 Gardner's Court, Washington, Maryland.
What can we do for you today, Mr.
Sherman? Most of you probably think you know why I'm here. And I'm going to preface this with I had a minor surgery today, and I'm a little loopy.
Okay.
So anything that comes out of my mouth, I apologize.
If you'd like to sit, you know, feel free to do so.
I'm good.
Okay.
Sewer pipe hasn't been replaced yet. The project hasn't even started except for a busted water pipe. Yesterday, during their routine cleaning out of the line at Gardner's Court, the sewer department plugged my sewer line, blew sewage into my basement. My wife stopped me from bringing 3 55-gallon garbage bags full of sewage-laden garbage, parentheses, former personal belongings, and dumping them into this room today. When the hell is this going to be completed? I need to know now. I had a plumber come in today, run 75 feet of a router out of my pipe, which 75 feet is 50 feet at least into the burrow pipe, coming out with roots and a crap load of wipes, which he was complaining that we put them in. We do not do that. So they're coming from other people plugging this line. This shit has to end. I'm sorry. It's got to stop. You people need to move forward with this project. Figure it out and get it done. My lawyer begged me not to file suit because he thought it would hold the project up, and you guys were moving forward. The last time I stood here, you said it was getting done. Ground hasn't been broken, and now I hear today, when I get here, that there's still plans that need to be looked at? What is the problem?
I would say one of the problems is that our last sewer engineer did not perform as we had expected. Unfortunately, I wish I had more that I could say to soothe you. I don't. I feel your pain. I know right where you're coming from, and if I have...
You have no idea!
If I have...
You have no idea!
Excuse me. I have had these type of things happen before, not here, but I have had them happen, and I can appreciate that you would like to come here with 3 garbage bags full of refuse. And we will both know what I mean by that. We will be
personal belongings covered with refuse.
Yes, I understand. I've had it happen to me before.
like I say, not here in Washington.
11 years I've been talking to this council, and as far as I'm concerned, it's you guys. Even though it was him when he was on council, and before that, before he was here. Anything?
Yes, we cannot give you a date at this time.
There's definitely work getting done, and no, it is, and we're working hard on it now. The project is being re-examined again, and I just want to thank your wife and your attorney for, you know, calming you down a little bit too, because, you know, nobody wants, you know, that shit to happen to you, that kind of stuff that, you know, nobody wants that in their house. That's a big deal, and, you know, we all feel that it's hard, you know, so. But we are going to try to work and get that done for you, for 100%. Please, anything. Even if you come to me and say, what is happening to me is my problem and there's something I need to do to fix it, tell me that's what it is and I'll get it done. But I've been told over and over again that this is going to be fixed and it's not.
There's more progress right now, Mr. Sherman, that's been made in the last 11 years. Unfortunately, we were told at the beginning of the year, when we hired a new engineer, that this project would have been started and completed in March. Didn't happen. We were told that it would be done before kids went back to school.
September.
Wasn't done. We were supposed to start last month. It didn't get done. And that's the reason why the engineer was here tonight, to explain that. When the plans are looked at, here's what you have to understand, and trust me, I feel for you. I can't imagine what it's like. I can't. And I can understand your anger. But we want to make sure that it's done right. It's going to get done.
I understand that.
I don't want to spend $200,000 and it not fix the problem.
Or create another problem down the road.
Right, or create something else.
That's
it
fine.
It needs to get done, and it needs to get done the right way. I know more about crap right now than I ever wanted to know in my life. I'm not an engineer. I know that it flows downhill. That's what I know. When the engineer draws something up, I have to take him, we have to take them at their word that this is what's going to fix the issue. We had a set of plans that we've already approved that was supposed to start in November. We had a pre-construction meeting where we met with a representative from the engineering firm and the contractor. There's already a contractor hired to do this. During that pre-construction meeting, somebody noticed that something wasn't the way it should be. Stop. They dug an exploratory hole. They broke your water line.
And you know why they did that? They didn't have a mark out. You have people doing an excavation that don't know how to excavate.
I wasn't there. I know that I went down and I saw that now everything is marked out in yellow and blue. I apologize for that. And I don't know how long it took to repair, how long you were without work, and I apologize for that. Listen.
I could have hand dug this by now.
My name is on this. You're angry. You're coming here. I can't tell you how angry I am. It would be inappropriate for me to say in front of everybody here how angry I am. I agree with you on a lot of what you're saying. We all agree to what you're saying. I've said before, government stinks. There are so many things that we have to do by law that shouldn't have to be done. But we have to do it a certain way. And again, I want, when I come to you, when they throw that dirt over that pipe, when it's replaced, and I come to you and say, listen, it's been a pleasure knowing you, but I don't ever want to see you again. I want to make sure that it's right. We all want to make sure that it's right. And right now, it's not right. I can't tell you when we're going to start. I've been told that the contractor can start during the winter, depending upon what the weather is like. There'll be weather holdups. I don't know. I wish I could tell you that it's going to start tomorrow. You know, March, June, September, November. I'm just as upset as you are.
And I apologize. I apologize on behalf of the whole council.
I did talk to Kevin today and yesterday, and what I worked out with him is the next time that, and any time that they are going to hydro, rotor that line, whatever they do, they will stop and tell us first, because he said there's no way what they did blew water into my basement, but I can tell you at 9:30 my basement was dry, and at 10:30 after they were down there doing it, there was sewage all over my basement and my pipe was plugged. There's only one thing that could have done that, and that's what they were doing.
Were they doing it at the siphon itself?
No, they did it at the end of the road up Gardner's Court.
From Sharon, yes. Sherry's house?
That's that pipe.
That's the pipe,
yeah.
The pipe is, we know that. We found that out when they dug, and that's the reason why they dug. That pipe in front of Mrs. Gilby's house is like this.
Right now, after the guy was working on my pipe, there's water running still into my house from the main.
Is there any way that if they do that, there's something that can be done that from the sewer plant to block that or come in a different way to blow out?
I did speak with Kevin today, and I...
Like I said, Kevin said there's no way what they did what I said it did, but...
But here, if they blew it back towards your house from that end, what was laying in that pipe could have shot back up there.
Yeah, most likely that's what happened.
Because there's a dip in the pipe, so if there's a dip in the pipe, things are going to lay there.
And the pressure...
I'm not doing that anymore.
Okay.
I spoke to Kevin today. It won't be flushed at that point.
Okay. So you can flush it from the other end? All right. Hopefully that helps, but I don't want to keep coming back and yelling at you guys.
No. And we don't want you to. We don't want you to have the need to.
I just want this finished. Please. Look at whatever the help a guy gave you. If it's right, let's get it done. But like I said, after talking to the plumber today, that if this guy's just talking about dropping that manhole 6 inches and leaving the rest of that pipe in, looking at all the roots that got pulled out of that pipe, that's not going to fix the issue, man.
No.
It's not going to fix the issue. One other thing.
Sure.
Separate note?
Sure.
Who owns the fire trucks in the borough? What entity owns the fire trucks in the borough?
The borough.
The borough owns the fire trucks in the borough. Whose bright idea is it to put kids on top of a fire truck and drive them around open roads?
Was that for the Redskins?
Yeah, the Redskins. Every time the team goes undefeated, the kids get to ride the fire truck around the borough. And you know what? These kids bust their asses. They do a great job. They deserve a parade. It's asinine to put kids on top of a friggin' fire truck and drive them around open roads. Somebody backing out of a driveway, a drunk driver, anybody hitting that truck's going to scatter kids all over the road. The borough's going to get sued. That shit's got to end. Throw the kids a friggin' parade somewhere, ride them around a fire truck in a parking lot.
Were they sitting on top of the trucks?
Go to YouTube. Yeah. Look it up. You got years of it. If our insurance company goes and looks at that, what's going to happen? That's one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. That's got to stop.
I think our risk manager should take a look at that. Okay. Anyone else? Sir. Give your name and address for the record, please.
Michael Gessner, 440 State Route 57 West, Washington, New Jersey.
What can we do for you, Mr. Gessner?
I have a complaint against a Washington employee, and I'm not sure if there are any limitations to what I can say.
There is. A formal complaint has already been filed in my office. So the Borough of Washington does have a policy regarding complaints, and that policy will be followed. We cannot discuss an employee in open session unless we first write notice that employee and give them notice that they will be discussed. And that has not taken place, and neither has my investigation.
Can I give some background on it, or can I mention by position?
Not
without saying the person's name?
A formal complaint has been filed.
Or can I just say public Washington official? Can't say that either?
A formal complaint has been filed, so I would suggest that we follow the protocol and let the policy and let the procedure take its place.
As I understand, after you do your investigation, if the filers are not pleased, they can bring it...
They do have the opportunity to bring it to the governing body at that point. That is correct.
And I believe at that point, it would follow what she was saying before, the Rice notice, which gives the employee notice that it's being done. It would give him the right to have it discussed in a closed session or an open session. And it is his or her right to do so.
Can I give background on the property in question, or is that out of place too? Or would that serve no purpose at this point?
I don't know that it would serve a purpose, but I don't know that there's any reason why I could say you can't tell us what's going on.
Well, if I say something wrong, you'll let me know.
I think that is part of the complaint, so
yeah,
I think we have to let the process. I think I have 15 days to review the complaint.
And that was filed today?
It was filed yesterday.
Filed yesterday.
Today.
Okay.
So I probably shouldn't say anything then.
At least not at this point, Mr. Kessler. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Thank you anyway. I understand.
I would suggest that at the next meeting, my part will be finished. So at that point, you want to come before the governing body.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, does he need to do the Rice thing or whatever? Like, does he need to say, give you notice that he's going to come and...
Yes, I would need advance notice, but I would have to write notice the individual.
You can discuss that at the end of the investigation,
exactly.
What the options are.
Okay, thank you.
And the process. Mr. Eller.
Welcome. How are you? I came to see what the conversation was in regards to trailer parking. Are you at the beginning, or is that next month?
No, the public hearing, that's
coming up tonight.
It's ordinance 4-2014. That would be the proper time to address that.
Very good. Thank you.
Sure. Reverend Babbitt, you know the drill?
Yeah. Reverend Block Knight, two hats tonight. Regular citizen. Pastor Mount Pisgah. I guess I'm following folks where I guess my face is tired. 14 years, it's cold weather, and we're getting questioned. Are we or aren't we?
The road.
Mm-hmm.
You want to address or would I? Should I?
Somebody.
We submitted our plans to the Department of Transportation,
right,
as you know.
Mm-hmm.
They came back and denied our plans. They want to see two more handicap accessible
curbs
in the roadway. So we have to, or on the sidewalk, so we have to go back and redesign a portion of the plan, submit those to the state. At this time, we're getting proposals to incorporate the four handicap ramps onto the sidewalk.
After we've already submitted.
They basically told us that if we didn't...
Four handicap ramps, excuse me?
If you didn't incorporate them, they just...
An angle.
An angle on the curb.
I'm sorry.
So we're putting curbs in?
Mr. Jones, what were you saying?
Before they thought, basically what the state says, if you don't put the handicap ramps in, you're not going to do the job.
Yeah, they won't.
Entire way of the highway.
For sidewalk.
Explain that ramp. I still don't understand where the ramp is. Explain the ramp.
You know, like at the intersections down here, how they have the cutout in the curb so that
wheelchairs and stuff like that
can go up and down.
That's what they want.
They want that. I guess it's by the library.
It is.
Correct.
They want that fixed. We're not doing the sidewalk, but they want those handicap ramps.
That's
installed.
Your
so the handicap ramps that are at the sidewalk where the library is, where the paving has always stopped, is now stopping the project again.
Correct.
Correct.
Thanks.
That's your State Department of Transportation.
Yeah,
oh.
And they've already approved all our plans and given us the money and the whole bit.
They haven't given us the money yet.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then they approved the money.
Right.
They approved.
So, but they'll only. So now they'll fix everything, and the ramp and the curbing, or make so that it's right. But then the curbing will stop, and we're going to have to file for another grant to get the curbing to go all the way up North Lincoln.
No, the curbing goes in first.
All the way up North Lincoln, or only to the library?
The curbing work first.
That's
what they told me tonight. All right.
The curb that's already established that's there
is going to be corrected.
It's going to be corrected.
And no other curbing will
and
be done.
No other curbing right now is going to be put in. before the road gets done. Not to say that we're not willing to apply for a sidewalk grant for that area. But government stinks.
This has been 14 years. This is crazy. And then will that be done before we deal with the school's driveway? And is that even...
Probably done at the same time.
The paving of the alleyway, is that what you're talking about?
The school driveway, that's going to proceed.
That, they're having problems with the contractor.
Right.
I don't know if it will proceed right now.
I don't think so, John, and then maybe the springtime.
Exactly. It's a separate entity. We don't have any control over the school.
But you're working with the school.
We're trying to coordinate efforts. However, they are having problems with the contractor.
Who won't do the same lousy job that they did the last time. I'm sorry, that was rude. I mean, it really was. It really was. I mean, they just rolled it out and it was a mess.
I agree with you.
It really was.
We're trying to coordinate the effort.
Government stinks.
We have money. We just have to make the state happy before we can proceed.
And then there'll be something else that you'll be filing for so that curbs will go all the way up North Lincoln? Am I clear with that or am I wrong?
There are grants that are available called Safer Routes to Schools.
Right. That's the one that you had talked about for last May and then we were discussing it. So we've applied for it. You're applying for it. We're hoping for it.
The deadline is sometime in the January or February, so if council would like to, we can certainly apply for that grant.
That would be a good idea.
I would like to.
I think that'd be a good idea.
Is the Streets Committee looking at doing that? Hey, the Streets Committee is looking at doing that?
That's something that we already voted on.
We voted on paving Sunrise Terrace. Applying for that grant.
I thought a while ago.
There was a consensus to look into that, I believe.
Right.
Apply for the grants for that, yes.
Okay, I'll make that motion now that we apply for the safer school.
Sidewalks and curving?
Yes.
Did you do that before?
Second.
I remember.
Any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Last question. In walking downtown, is there a limit to how much can be put on display from one of the shops and how far it comes out into the sidewalk?
I think there is. It has to, I don't know exactly what it is, but there is a certain amount of space that has to be left open for pedestrian passage.
I believe it is 48 inches.
It is.
That has to be. 48
inches.
And does it have to stay in the limit of in front of their own business or can it spread to another?
It can go in front of another business. It depends on
it's a vacant building.
Oh, it allows it.
It's a vacant building. It just gets to be very congested downtown when they start to put.
But the important thing is this, the space for like a wheelchair or whatever to get through.
It's
or, you know, stroller, you know, somebody with kids or something like that. Perfect.
That's it. Thank you.
I'll make a quick add to hers. I know I should probably be at the Shade Tree Commission, but I am disappointed in the way the trees are maintained downtown. I would tell you currently 3/4 of them are wonderful. The last quarter, which is northeast section, those trees, they're not even trimmed up. You should be, you know, a lot of people are 6 feet tall, and they shouldn't have to worry about ducking because the branches are a little bit low. There should be a 6.5-foot minimum. Somebody's carry a stick around and make sure all of those trees are trimmed up because they will be more productive in their growth if they're trimmed up. People can't sit when they get out of their car, the trees hit their doors. So I don't know if that's, you know.
You're talking about the branches. And
the branches, yeah. It would be, you know, in the fall was the time to do that. And I noticed that in the beginning of spring, none of that was done. And then slowly through, you know, the summer, I saw that somebody had been trimming those. But
you know. Bring that to the attention of Shade Tree, please.
Was it on their list at the last meeting?
Yeah, the last meeting, you just missed 2 weeks ago. They were here and gave a brief presentation, and they had mentioned, you know, about coming, and they were getting...
Did they say about down there, though?
That area, that particular area, that street, I don't know.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I know they said tree trimming, but...
But they didn't say...
Yeah, I don't know, you know, I don't know whose, I don't know whose job that is, but, you know, I really would have thought that that would be something the road department guys could, you know, when they're up chipper in the morning, that...
No, they hire an arborist for that.
You know, to me, it's just a guy with a set of trimmers to cut the branches out of your base, that's all it is.
Need somebody with a certification to do it, thanks to...
Imagine that.
Is it considered a shade tree?
Yeah.
We need a certified person.
Certified arborist.
All right, I thought I would add to her comment when you're talking about downtown.
Just check that it's included in their list.
I have it.
Anyone else?
Oh, yeah.
No, I have the list here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have the list here.
Oh, is it on the list?
Can you look and see?
I'm trying to look.
We got a motion to close the audience for it, Mr. Mayor?
Not there.
Now I'll accept that.
We'll bring it to the...
Any discussion on closing the audience for it? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, ordinance 3-2014.
Motion to approve on final passage and read by title.
What?
Second.
Ordinance 3-2014, introducing for final passage. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Ordinance 3-2014, an ordinance of the Borough of Washington, County of Warren, State of New Jersey, creating a chapter of the Borough Code of the Borough of Washington entitled Registration of Properties Pending Foreclosure.
At this point, I will open up the audience, or the public hearing on ordinance 3-2014.
Just so everybody knows that this is an ordinance that is going to allow us to deal with kind of like the foreclosed properties and the maintenance issues. Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? You have a motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second.
Any other discussion? Now roll call, please.
Torres?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Cleva?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
That brings us to ordinance 4-2014, introduced for final adoption.
So we make the motion to introduce it and then we discuss it?
Yes.
Okay. I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on that motion?
I have some discussion. We have some.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Clerk?
Ordinance 4-2014, an ordinance amending Chapter 85, Vehicles and Traffic of the Code of the Borough of Washington.
Okay. Mrs. Connery.
The last page. This is the deleted wash tank in front of the Warren County Pharmacy. We spoke on November 5th that we were not going to delete that.
I think my notes were unclear.
Keeping both?
Yes.
These are right behind each other.
Yes.
Okay. That would be the third one up from the bottom.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Sir. Sure.
On the changing of the no parking signs, Church Street is not mentioned.
I need to know what page and what section you're in.
That would be page two.
Page two.
was there, Article...
Article...
Section eight.
Section eight.
Schedules, you mean?
Yeah, schedules, no parking, and menus follow. No, that's not on there because it's already in the code book. That's why, yeah, that's already in the code book. We only changed, we only added the stuff that wasn't in the code book.
Right, this is just the amendment.
Yeah, this, that's already in the code book.
Okay, sorry.
We're changing from the north side to the south.
Janine, you have one?
Probably when we get to the public. I've had people come to me with concerns with the construction vehicle trailers. Currently, I mean, we don't want the trailer there all the time, so, but if they're there doing business, or they now have it, they now have to pay to stay there for, I have some concerns, and I think probably some businesses might have concerns with the now paying for the parking permit. I don't know the answer. I don't want them on there indefinitely, but, you know, if they're there for one job, you know, I don't want them increasing their prices and then our residents, you know, having to...
Well, it does say that at no time shall a permit be issued for longer than 1 week.
Right.
Right, so that's kind of...
I also don't notice that there's any price for the parking permit.
That's in another chapter.
Okay.
So is it a separate price for construction, or what?
No, it's not. It's 15...
15?
Precisely.
Okay, we have it at 15 a month.
15 a month?
To park on the street, yeah.
That's it?
Oh, all right, that's not...
There's no daily?
It's been quite a while since we listed the parking restrictions, but yeah, 15 a month.
But they have a week to do it in.
Right.
So if they want to go longer, then they would come down and get a permit?
I don't think that your average contractor truck weighs over 12.5, does it? Like your plumber or...
No.
No, these are the trailers. These are the trailers.
Oh, trailers, okay.
Any other discussion from council?
Well...
At this point, I'll open the public hearing on ordinance for 2014.
Okay, I'm back.
Don Aller,
44 West Church Street, owner of Sunrise Companies, also owner of many trailers, okay? I don't know what you have written in your ordinance. I haven't seen it. What I am aware of is that your proposal of a fee to park a trailer on the street. I work in a two-county area, being Warren and Hunterdon, and at no municipality is there a parking fee for a trailer. So I don't recommend it. Nobody really knows about it. It's unfortunate that what we have recently really is people that move into the area are, you know, moving west, and that's to us. And then what happens is they bring their own contractors, and those contractors are not from around here. They would not have any idea about your fee. Like I said, no one else charges it, so I'm not in favor of that. You know, the last fee that I remember really was charging people $180 to park the car in the street per year. That was a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to hinder any business for, you know, charging a fee,
right.
And I don't think that this is going to be... The idea is to just get trailers off the street that are there for longer than a construction job would take.
Okay.
So I guess, you know, maybe there's...
Yeah.
We have in there 1 week. Maybe we can make that 2 weeks or something, adjust it a little bit, because, yeah, I mean, there is a concern there that, you know, these, sometimes it, yeah, I mean, say it's a construction job, they're doing somebody's house painting or something, that might take 2 weeks. I mean, you know, some things take longer than a week, and you shouldn't have to, I mean, and as you said, it's a good point, Don, that when people come in, they do have to find out about it, and if the homeowners don't know to tell them, then they're going to be stuck with, you know, and then it's going to cause a problem between the homeowner and their contractor. It's not a good idea, you know,
right,
in that respect.
So I ask you to offer me some of examples of where your trailer parking problems are?
Elizabeth Avenue, Church Street.
No, I live on Church Street. What trailer's there? East Church, you mean you're talking about?
Yeah, the one closest to North Jackson.
Which would be East Church.
What's the one? Isn't there one by down by you? Railroad Avenue. Yeah, well, there's a lot.
And
they haven't moved in about a year.
Right. They're just sitting there.
Well, let me just offer you an example of what took place with me working in the borough this year. I was working for a homeowner. The next door neighbor didn't like my trailer being on the street. It happened to be on a Sunday when he complained, and I got a phone call when I was at an event, and they told me that if I didn't move my trailer, it was going to be towed. And so a little further discussion, it is the police department's opinion that because my trailer was not hooked up to my truck, it did not have insurance on it. So my response to that was, if you don't like my 20 feet of trailer, how about 45 feet of truck and trailer? Because that would conform to what they shared with me. So it actually made it worse for the neighbor, but he's the one that brought it on. So I investigated, and just so you're aware, if you have a tag on a trailer, it is covered under your insurance. Mm-hmm. So although somebody might not be happy that it's a trailer sitting on the street, in one aspect, I would tell you that's no different than a car. It truly isn't. It has insurance. It is a registered vehicle. And if you allow parking on the street, it should be there. It shouldn't be regulated by your proposed ordinance. So, you know, I didn't know. Well, I figured my stuff was always covered by my auto policy. But this, you know, brought it up. So I had to investigate. And so between people not knowing about any fee for a week, or anything like that, you don't charge people to park their car on the street anymore, then I don't recommend this. I don't see this as a good idea. I can appreciate somebody saying, hey, I don't like that stuff sitting out there that long. But in reality, when I look at the what I would say are the facts, I don't think that you should be using this ordinance to chase the vehicles off. Yeah, it's just like somebody's house. You might not like the color, but it's going to stay. You know what? Their trailer can be on the street.
Here's the issue we have with the trailers. Most trailers, most construction trailers, are larger than a car.
Mm-hmm.
Wider.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue is that, you know, if it was the size of a car, okay. But most of them are wider than a
mm-hmm.
car. And it presents a problem
with
the turn. Traffic
flow. Right, well, let me just respond to that.
Okay.
I would tell you that most cars are 7 feet wide. This is a rural county. There's a lot of trucks around here. Most trucks with their mirrors, they're 8 feet. Trailers are typically, you know, contractor trailers are 7 feet wide or they're 8 feet wide. So you see it as bigger because it's a square box as opposed to any kind of smaller dimension, but its footprint is similar.
Trust me, I'm not trying to be a wise guy. What would you think would be a good way of dealing with this issue? Like we're talking, you know, that some of these vehicles, some of these trailers have been there and not been moved
for years.
At least.
Well, as long as they're registered, they have a legal
registration. Yeah, I mean, this, Don, the reason that this problem is...
We can do about it.
Well, I can answer though. It's
not a personal vehicle. You know,
It's hard because, you know, somebody may or may not have their name or their construction company on the side of it. Hey, I understand where you're at here, you know, because, hey, it's just like me. I want my neighborhood clean, too. Does it always happen? No. It's not even close. But I'm saying is you're here to make a rule, and I'm telling you that that's a bad rule because I don't like it, But you know what? They have every legal right to be there the way the law is written. It is a registered vehicle. It just happens to need a vehicle to pull it. But it has insurance. It's titled from the state. It's as valid as a moving car or truck. So in that aspect, it has a right to be there. But is it unattractive? Sure, it's unattractive.
Are you specifically saying about charging for a permit to have it parked there?
I disagree with any payment fee. Right. Yes, okay. I do that. And then your proposal to not allow them to be on the street, I disagree with that for the previous fact that I'm stating. I agree. I'd like the stuff off the street, too.
Right.
But, you know, it's no different than me wanting the trees trimmed in town or the garbage picked up, you know. Hey, that's just, it sucks, but that's the way it is. So, you know, I don't think that you should adopt this ordinance as it's written. What the answer is, I don't know. But I can't, in good faith, allow you to process this and think it's a good thing because I see a lot of problems with it.
What do you think if there's language inserted here that construction vehicles that impede the flow of traffic?
But you would think that would be something already written in the ordinance, right?
Well, it's not.
No.
There's nothing mentioned about it.
Well, you know, that's the police department, right? Yeah. If someone's blocking the traffic, they should be able to ticket it and get it out.
Correct. It might be.
You know, I related that. I had a kid that skateboarded, right? And then I'm like, hey, look, you can't beat the skateboarding. And Victor says, hey, you know, you know, that's wrong and everything. And it's like, hey, listen, you know, the vandalism that goes on at the park, the negative thing is there's not many people there. And because there's not many people, that's part of why the vandalism takes place. You got to tell these kids to go to the park. Hey, and you know what? If they ruin a sidewalk or a picnic table because they're skateboarding on it, that's the cost of doing business. Because I told Victor, I said, hey, you know what? You can't go to work anymore because you ruined the ozone. You tear up the road. You have to stay home. You can't go out. So it's the cost of doing business.
Right. I'm going to use that tomorrow when I call up.
Yeah, you're green. You're green. So you're saving the environment. You're going to stay home today.
You're going around and let your car.
Matter of fact, direct deposit. I'll save you the paper on my check, right? But so that's my thought about the whole trailer deal. You know, it's a tough deal.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And listen, everybody knows you're a local businessman.
Right.
You know, whether we don't want to put any more cost burden on you.
No, nobody wants to
but
do that.
But I don't know of any other solution other than have it in an ordinance that says that it can't be there that we can address that issue.
Let me just put it in a different perspective for you, maybe, because as a business person, okay. What if you had a business and you had five trailers?
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to park them all on the street? I mean, you would have that option if we don't have any law to say that you can't.
Well, we're rural, but if we're New York City, you bet.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. We're the urban part, I mean, more, you know, urbanized section of, you know, the county, one of the three urbanized, you know, sections. So, I mean, and the reason that this even came about, this whole discussion with trailers, is because of use of some businesses, some people that have trailers. That come in and bring in more than one vehicle, more than one trailer. Okay, and they park them in various places throughout the town, and sometimes they take up many business owner spaces in the downtown, for example.
Right, I'm aware of a business that's...
I'm just saying,
similar,
you know,
right.
That's one example, but it could be in any section of town that there might be a business that has three trailers and they want to park them on the street. Well, you know what, that's not right, okay? That should be in your yard, somewhere, you know, off the street, if you're going to, you know, park them, because as Dave had mentioned earlier, it sometimes impedes the traffic, the visibility. It's hard for drivers to see around them. Some of the open ones, no, but you know, some of the other ones, yeah, it is.
Right.
So that's the whole reason that this even came about. So that's why, I mean, it's a little more flexible. And we do have, you know, an issue with the police that do the enforcing. And so if they decide to write a ticket, well, that's on them. But if we put something in an ordinance, then that becomes more of a local law that they would have to enforce.
Right, I would say that you're speaking on the side of common sense.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, but the fact of the matter is that I'm actually working with the existing rules.
Yes.
And that gets in the way of common sense. And so when you talk about, trailers, hey, I can, you know, snag a bunch of trailers and stick them, and it's free advertising because it's not a billboard, it's not a, you know, a physical place, so people do that. Washington Carpet used to do it with a box truck.
So it's confused, right, exactly.
People are doing it all over. But what I'm saying is, what you're contemplating, that, you can't do it. You have to find something different between the common sense and the issue. And what you're proposing tonight, you can't do it that way. I don't feel it's appropriate. I understand it, you know, but the common sense is take your stuff off the street. But you can't, you know, the fee thing, you know, nobody knows about it, and then it's just one more thing. And I don't think it's appropriate because there isn't a community that I work in that has that. And I pull a trailer every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is my workshop. It goes from house to house. So, you know, that's the whole fee thing. But then the other part comes to, hey, it's a registered licensed vehicle in the state of New Jersey.
But not all the trailers that's here in the barrel are registered. Maybe yours are, but not all vehicles over there on Railroad Avenue. I've been here 25 years, and it's still sitting in the same spot.
But see, that's a tiny thing, and then that's for someone to work with the existing rules. Now, if you want to write something like
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
that it must be a registered vehicle,
mm-hmm.
because trailer people, you know, they snag
mm-hmm.
Tags off of things,
sure,
and just stick things
on
there. But if you had your, you know, code enforcement person investigate that vehicle to
mm-hmm.
see if there was a legitimate
mm-hmm.
tag and registration on it, then that's altogether different.
Mm-hmm.
And realistically, that's already on the books because you're not allowed to have a car in your yard without that. So
well,
you certainly couldn't have one on the street.
Well, Mr. Eller, if I may, if somebody else would like to speak, would you be willing to yield the floor for
I
you?
Would. I would. I'm getting tired.
Well, boy, that was nice.
You're sorry, Paul. I love it.
Robin Klimko, 35 West Marble Street, Washington, New Jersey. I agree with Mr. Eller. I think the issue is not someone having a trailer like him that goes to work every day, takes it out, goes to work. It is. My parents live off of Railroad Avenue. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's been sitting there for years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it needs to be a different code or a different ordinance that needs to be put into effect. And again, have the police department go. If it's not a registered plate, have it towed out of there. Someone cannot leave it sit there for an extended period of time. I don't think, Mr. Eller, you don't leave your trailers sitting for an extended period of time. You move them every day. That's a working trailer. Someone that sits it there and sat there for 6 months, now that becomes...
That's maybe that's
right.
How we amend it. Forget
right.
the fees and everything.
Right,
because
now you're encapsulating the good working
do
people that do it every day,
right.
along with people that are abusing and leaving abandoned
right.
trailers sitting
mm-hmm.
on our streets in town. You're trying to put them all into one, and it's wrong. I agree with him 100%.
I think we all do. We're just trying to find
the
solution.
Well, maybe what
yeah.
you should do is just, you know, if it's not moved within a 30-day period, maybe there needs to be an explanation as to why it's not being moved, why it's not being worked, used, stored someplace else. It can't be stored on the street.
Yeah.
It can be parked on the street, but it can't be stored on the street. And if they're using it every day, then it's not there for 30 days or 25 years because
mm-hmm.
it's being used all the time. It's not being destroyed.
I have a question to the point of order. If this gets amended, it has to be reintroduced,
that's correct?
Correct,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which puts it into the next year.
Right.
Correct.
No, we could do it if we advertise in the Express Times.
Because what I'm looking at, Article 3, Items 4 and 5, if those are removed, I think that pretty much takes care of it, but that's over a real quick review of it. I may have missed something.
Well, we still want something addressed in there, though, about
mm-hmm.
not
yeah.
just removing
about registering the trailers with the borough. just have them registered.
Well, they're already registered with,
The state.
I like the.
Right, they're registered with the state.
Yeah.
Thirty-day period.
Right, there's a difference between a work trailer and somebody storing it on the street.
That's one of the big abuses.
If they could just move it then for one day and then it's back again the next day kind of thing.
I mean, that's.
Yeah, but if they're not using it, the likelihood that they have insurance on it and that it's registered is.
Scott might want to include three in that also.
There's others.
Yeah, but if the police go by and they see it's been sitting there and they run the plate and it's not a valid plate, it shows up with Chevy and Power.
Recreation, so it's like, you're going camping.
Tow it out of there, you know, either ticket or tow it, one of the two.
In the morning.
Ninety-day rule, that's how they do it up in New York State.
Ninety days?
Ninety days.
Not in New York, you don't.
It's for 90 days and it doesn't move for the 90 days.
In New York, you don't sit it for a week.
Yeah, every place is different, so.
Exactly, they have.
I have a property way north that I.
That's why.
City court.
Well, that's why I think.
We're getting too many people talking at once here, so. Robin has yielded the floor. Mr. Eller, you're standing, do you have something else you'd like to say?
Well, I would like to say that her statements were right in between probably the rules and common sense. And the operative word here is storage, which is different, okay? Because I know that on the zoning board, you know, people want to put a shed in and do all these kind of things and stuff like that. But ultimately, what they wind up doing sometimes is just buying a trailer and putting their junk in it. And they can get away with it because it's a trailer. They don't need no permit or nothing. They just go down there. It's as cheap as a shed to go buy a trailer. Okay, so now we're talking storage. Which, and anybody in the construction or using the trailer, it gets moved around.
Right.
So really, storage is.
Storage trailers.
You know, but, you know, then we go back to the registration and stuff like that. The police, they're not going to be checking for no 90 days, or they're not checking that stuff.
Yeah, no, nobody will check.
We're on our own.
It's hard to enforce that.
Yeah, it's hard to enforce that.
We're on our own.
Yeah, they can move it after 30, they can move it, they come back 2 days later and back there for another 30 days.
It seems to me like we would like to reconsider this.
Yeah.
I see a number of nodding heads, which would lead us to a no vote on final adoption. And is there any other discussion on that part of it? Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I would make a motion to close the public hearing.
Thank you for your time, John.
Thank you.
Okay, there's a motion and a second just before we voted. Was there anybody else who wanted to be heard on this? Okay, all in favor of closing the public hearing?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Or we could just let it die by not having a motion for final approval. So I will call.
We could review it for the next meeting and make some adjustments.
We could move to approve and have further discussion on it, and then either vote yea or nay on it, or there could be no motion whatsoever on it, at which time it would die.
Right.
And then it could always come back to reconsideration.
You could send it back to committee and bring it back for discussion at the next meeting. But keep in mind, you can't adopt until January.
Right.
So do we take a second to actually fix it?
Well, you couldn't have couldn't introduce really until January at this point.
Right.
Which costs us a month. I don't know how desperate the situation
is. Month.
Well, my concern is, A, I'm not going to be here and I want this passed. And B, the snow aspect of this ordinance. There's a lot in this ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or we could approve it and then rescind certain portions of it in the new year.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best thing to do.
Correct that. We could do that.
We
can. Still going to have it be advertised.
Yes.
Because you're changing the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
But
it complicates things
more. Once that goes on, once it's passed, it's like it's a free for all.
Any ordinance adopted is doesn't go into effect until 20 days after adoption. Yeah. And it's Faulkner Act municipality.
Well, unless it so states like this one did. That one takes the abandoned properties takes effect immediately.
Right.
So 20 days.
It will make this count for me.
Well, is it going to snow? I mean, that's the,
yes,
the crucial thing. Well, yeah, right. That's what I'm thinking.
Well,
so
you know,
I think we should adopt it now and make the, and you guys can then make the amendments in the following year. I think that's probably the smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, everybody knows that the discussion points here that...
Yeah, I think we've had the discussion that we're going to have.
Yeah.
At this point, I would accept a motion for approval.
I'll make the motion we approve.
Second.
Okay, is there any further discussion on this? Let's have a roll call, please.
Leva?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Jones?
No.
Higgins?
No.
Thompson?
No.
And we will revisit January 1st to remove the trailer provisions.
I think she'd be saying...
So it doesn't take effect for 20 days. That brings us to the 22nd, right?
Yeah.
To the 22nd, just before Christmas.
And we have a council meeting.
And, sorry?
Do we have a council meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before that?
But we can amend...
Yeah, you could make the amendment at the next council meeting, right?
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. No.
But it won't go in.
You have to do it by ordinance.
You have to do it.
You have to introduce and adopt. You can't introduce in 1 year and adopt in another.
So we can have the amendment to the ordinance ready for the reorg meeting.
Exactly. Right, so that's the plan.
So there will be 30 days that this will all be in effect.
Not even 30.
Yeah, I mean, who would enforce this? Code enforcement and the police?
Yeah, it's Christmas.
So we could request that they not enforce the ordinance, that portion of the ordinance during this time.
Yeah.
But it's still up to their judgment whether to do so or not.
Right, for insurance or whatever, if it's a sticking out in the road.
Okay, not quite what you wanted, but it's on the road.
Why didn't we just pull them out?
If we pulled it out...
Because we advertised, then it would be amending it.
And then we have to re-advertise and go through the process all over again anyway. This way we get all the other portions of it in effect, and then we can rescind.
Because the process takes thereabouts a month or 3 to 4 weeks.
So either way, we were going till the end of January.
Yeah. Well, wait a second. For an amendment, you need the 30 days to advertise?
You have to amend by ordinance.
It's a new ordinance. The amendment is an ordinance.
Exactly. The amendment is another ordinance.
But even if this one was tabled to be amended, you have to advertise for another 30 days?
You have to advertise upon introduction, and you have to advertise upon adoption. And you cannot advertise in 1 year and adopt in another.
I understand that.
So,
but if there was an amendment, you have to advertise the amendment.
Correct.
Right.
All right.
Because the
amendment... that takes 30 days to advertise the amendment?
Actually, the way we do it, it takes 6 weeks.
But it can take 30.
Is that required by law?
Yes. It's required by law.
Yeah, the only amendments I believe we could make would be correcting typographical
exactly.
errors.
Exactly. If it's taking away from significant content, you have to advertise.
Because that's the rules of state
okay.
bound by.
Okay, do we have any reports this evening?
Mm-hmm. I would like to report that government stinks.
I believe you have reported that already.
Yeah, thank you.
Old business, condemned abandoned properties. I'm sorry?
You want me to speak on that?
Please.
I was not at the last meeting, and I have reviewed the information that Leslie gave you. Two things I'd like to point out. If you want to go with scenario number one in Leslie's memo to you, I can have Leslie prepare the resolution. That's the first part of the process. And then in January, we can do the ordinance. The second part of her memo relates to the abandoned properties. And I just want to remind this governing body, and I'm not sure how many were here at that time, we did have an abandoned properties ordinance, and we ended up repealing that ordinance.
Yeah. We had all this discussion, like nothing was really going to be done.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. There was a whole, at the last council meeting.
I had it on my notes to bring it back to the governing body.
And I believe Leslie was supposed to get us some other
information.
She was going to talk to Rich Phelan about something.
About the abandoned properties list we used to have.
Yeah, and why the cost, she thinks the cost, we got rid of it because of cost reasons, and she was going to look in, speak with him, like.
Right.
So
I wasn't part of that. She didn't tell me that part, so.
Yeah. Once the ordinance was on the books, we had to follow it, and it became cost prohibitive.
Yeah, there was too many.
That I do remember.
Yeah, I think it was
there
cost.
Was
Well, that was our concern. Why do it? Why we just got rid of it? Why are we going to get it back for the same cause reasons?
Any other discussion on this for the moment? Leslie, we'll be here for our next meeting, correct?
Do you want this back on?
Let's put it back on for any questions that may arise. I believe she's going to have some kind of a report for us. Okay. The bid, 2015 budget approval. I accept the motion to approve the Business Improvement District budget.
You want to look at it, Dave?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
Second it.
Okay. Is there any discussion on it? Sandy, do you have anything you'd like to add from your last presentation?
No, I've only pretended that Phil was here to answer the questions, and, Phil was here, I know, Phil Higgins had some questions, and he was here last time, and just make sure, I would like to point out to him that it is a flat subject. There is no withdrawal from open pay earnings. Income equals expenses, flat. No withdrawal, and as I mentioned last time, we have estimates every year with about $50,000 in our surplus account, and the plan is to maintain or raise that to a higher level through some aggressive fundraisers.
Yes. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Kaliva?
Yes.
Conway?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Brings us into new business. Resolution 145, 2014, budget transfers for this year.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on these? Should we expect more before the end of the year, or should we just do it?
I haven't seen Natasha in 2 weeks, so I'll have to get back to you on that.
Actually, okay. We can go into March of next year.
Yeah, we can. So I can't really give you 100%.
Okay. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Conway?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Kaliva?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
146, 2014, adjusting sewers.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on this one? Are they closing this office?
They did.
Okay.
The demo.
Okay, any other discussion? We don't need a roll call on this
one. No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Let's do 148 and 149 together. Release of escrows.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on either of these? Roll call, please.
Conway?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Kaliva?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
This is just for driveway paving.
Mm-hmm.
All the drive, I know. You see the road?
Yes or no?
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
Okay, vouchers.
Make a motion that we pay the bill.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I have a second. Any discussion?
I have one.
Mr. Thompson.
What page? I forgot what page. Page 4. The engineering from school. Can you say that? Or is that my recreation plan?
I don't know. Let me see your thing.
Okay.
I may have helped him pay. Let's go with the line. Came out of buildings and grounds. We paid for it.
Okay. Any others?
Yeah. On page 1. 1, 2, 3, 4 items down. We're paying a consulting fee. EMC2 LLC under other maintenance equipment.
Page 1. Oh, yeah, that's computers.
EMC.
Computer consulting.
Yeah, EMC Squared is probably the largest storage-based consulting firm in the world.
So they came in and told us what they were going to do and we paid them?
They actually fixed several broken computers in the borough that were beyond my level of expertise.
So it wasn't consulting, it was repair.
Repair, but if they're in for invoice type consulting, that's what you're probably going to sound.
Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
Yes, I did. It would be under it's on page 4. The amount of money we're paying for the maintenance of our vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
You mean the blacksmith?
It's kind of a lot.
About $2,500?
We agree. I'm just making that observation that we're paying a lot.
Do you want to discuss why?
Pardon me?
Truck number 47 that was leaking oil, the engine had to be pulled.
And replaced.
That's right. It's so they could get through the oil pan. That's quite an expensive job. No one in DPW is qualified to pull an engine.
Okay.
Nor do we have that equipment.
Okay.
That's my question.
And that was the largest bill there.
Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah, the engine had to be pulled to get to the
pan. By the way, on the same subject for next year, being that some of us are not going to be on the council next year, we're curious, though, as to is there any possibility of purchasing any new vehicles? Is that in the possible discussion phase now?
It is. It would be brought to the governing body.
At budget time,
January.
Right. Okay.
Matter of curiosity, how did the oil pan get damaged in the first place?
I think it was just, it's old. I could find out for sure, but it's just, it went.
There was no oil pans usually don't,
don't
rot away or get damaged, you know. Something.
I mean, I can ask them why it happened. So. I'm certainly not pulling the oil pan.
I can add to that, but I don't want to get thrown out of the court. That sounds like a Ford, and yes, they do rot out, which is the reason they have to pull them out.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Thank you for your Ford.
Anything else, Dave?
Fortunately, I know that.
Rich, did you have anything?
That was my same question.
Okay. Paul, do you have anything? Anything on this side?
On the left?
No. Anything on the right? No. Anything on the left?
By the way, black smoke is not a... against the New Jersey EPA or anybody like that. It's just black smoke. It's just the name of the company.
Right.
It's just a joke.
Okay. Roll call on the vouchers, please.
Okay.
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes, everything except for our company, Russian Squad.
Gleba?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
John?
Yes. Okay. What do we give you to do this week, Chris?
Okay, I will amend the splash pad award resolution with a not to exceed, contact a risk manager regarding children riding in the fire truck. We will apply for the Save for After School from North Lincoln Avenue, sidewalks and curbing. Contact the Shade Tree Commission about trimming trees on Washington Avenue. And that's what I have.
Okay. That brings us to recap. Dave.
Begin that investigation as well.
Yeah, well, that's something I don't
know. Any other remarks, Dave?
You can come back to me if you'd like.
Okay. Paul?
Yes. A couple questions. What's the status on the dam?
Well, it was in my manager's report last week.
I didn't find a copy, so I didn't.
Oh, that's okay. That's a budgetary item for next year's governing body.
Okay.
So I think this council decided to move forward with decommissioning. It can come out of our sewer budget, and Dawson and I are looking at ways to do that, and we have to present that to the governing body next year.
Crosswalk.
crosswalk on 57. With the Midtown crosswalk, the DOT basically said, no, we will not help you fix the crosswalk while they're paving, so now we will present that to the governing body next year as well.
That's got to be fixed also. Have you gotten anything from that CLAP program that you had given you information on?
No, I haven't heard anything from them. Yeah, I called twice. Did you speak with him?
Well, initially I did, yeah.
Okay.
And then I gave you all the information.
Right, I haven't.
Yeah. Seemed very informative. Yeah, we should be able to help you out type thing. So that's what I was wondering.
Okay.
Last but not least, time clock issue?
Thursday.
I had asked Leslie to review the union contract. Unfortunately, she's not here tonight.
Leslie and I did speak about that, and I did meet. I think that should be an executive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the good news is. That's one of the executive session today.
The good news is they are coming out Thursday to get the process rolling. As far as the rest of it, we can go in exec.
Who's coming out?
The payroll company.
Okay.
Are we going to do that tonight? Go into executive session again?
We can. We have the reviews of the professionals to do. We can discuss that also at that point.
Okay.
Mr. Thompson?
Question for council. 2018, the town's going to be 150 years old. Just want to know what the plans looking at for 2018? We're doing some type of celebration or? The
town's going to be how old?
Yeah, 150.
I would suggest, sorry, if I could. We should look at that very shortly.
68.
It's 50 years from 68
to
2018.
Bicentennial is 200 years.
Yeah. We
had that conversation.
Yeah. I'm just throwing that to council.
Okay. Mrs. Leva. One, I hope everyone comes out Saturday for the hometown holiday, December 6th, starting at 4 o'clock here in front of the Borough Tree. The senior committee, we're working with Home Instead with their Via Santa senior program. If you go to local merchants, you should see tags on the trees if you wanted to buy a senior present. And we, along with any other volunteers, they can use volunteers to help wrap all these presents. The wrapping's taking place on Thursday at Home Instead on Belvedere Avenue on Thursday, December 11th.
What time?
I think any time from noon up until 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So it's some of the time, but it's till 8 o'clock at night. I'm going to go wrap after work. Yes. And then last, I just wanted to bring it up once again with regards to the sewer fees this year. They were not reduced.
They were supposed to be reduced.
Check with the manager.
Actually, yes. This is the unfortunate truth, is that, we checked the minutes.
Go ahead.
January?
February. I have the minutes.
January, February meeting.
It was a February meeting where Councilman Higgins said he would like to see that happen. There was no motion made or a vote on the reduction. And then at the budget meeting, I brought up my concerns, and the mayor asked about how much was in surplus. The manager stated she would like to see that surplus number remain, and basically it died there. And I have a copy of my 2013 bill, and I have a copy of my 2014 bill, and the number is the same. There was no reduction.
Natasha sat right
here. Natasha sat
right
here.
No, I confirmed that was Natasha.
She sat right here and told me that there was a $75,000 reduction.
Yes.
And that it was coming off the sewer bill. She sat right here.
Maybe it's a reduction in the budget.
It's
regardless,
not here,
you still charge the people the same amount.
Exactly. That's...
That would equate to the $2.50 coming. That would reduce that bill by $2.50.
Yeah. Did you ask for another 2% from yourself? Did you knock down 2%?
She sat right here and said
right.
That.
Okay.
She said maybe it could work that way, but it never happened.
Right.
It wasn't happening.
I'm glad you found that, Denise. I am extremely ecstatic that you found that.
Mrs. Lee, would you like to make anybody else happy?
No, I think I'll end it there.
Mr. Torres, Rob, you have anything?
Yeah, I do. Well, of course, went to the Lee Municipalities Convention, and at that, I was able, I thought one of the best things that I got out of it for our manager's use was this company that deals with time clocks. And because that's going to be discussed in the executive session, I guess I shouldn't, you know, right, talk about it any further. Mm-hmm. But I just want to bring that up and mention that. That's all for now.
Mrs. Conrad.
Uh-huh.
And we'll go to council people elect. Mrs. Noon, do you have anything you'd like to comment on this evening? Mrs. Klimko.
I do. Can I just, can I address something regarding the sewer project?
You can ask a question. Sure.
I just want to know, we asked last year about the money that was budgeted last year, this year, and Dave, you had made the comment that it needs to be done by this year because of the money issue.
No. That money's specifically set aside.
But you did say something about the fact that it needs to be done by this year because of the way the money was budgeted.
No, it sits there in capital. Okay. We add to it every year.
Yeah, going to have to do
that. That may have been for a grant if there was something else.
She's probably talking about money. It needs to be encumbered and all that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just wanted to say that.
Okay. Mr. Heinrich, do you have anything?
No.
Okay. I have nothing. Then I would accept that we go accept the motion for an executive session to discuss contract negotiations and professional evaluations after a 10-minute recess.
Oh, move.
Good move.